Welcome to Steppin' Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Everybody, my name's Sue Supriano, and my guest today is Michael Stoops. Michael Stoops is the Director of Community Organizing for the National Coalition for the Homeless, and he tells me he's been working with homeless issues for 30 years and has been and worked in all 50 states. But now you're in Washington, D.C. with the National Coalition for the Homeless. Michael Stoops. So I'm really happy to meet you and been wanting for a long time to get a kind of an overview of what's going on in this richest country in the world that has this huge population, growing, increasing population of people with no place to live. So I don't know where to start. I imagine you have a lot of facts and figures. Maybe we should start right there.
Well, when I think of homelessness, I always think of the people that I know that are living and dying on the streets of America. And homelessness has been a problem in this country, has grown each and every year since the early 1980s. And that's why the National Coalition for the Homeless was founded. And our roots go back to 1979, and we incorporated in the early 80s, and now we have work with local and state coalitions in all 50 states. It's a problem. The problem of homelessness seems never to go away, and it gets worse and worse. And the public is wondering what's going on when the economy is doing so well, or at least it was doing so well. But homelessness is like our dirty little secret. It has an open wound that you see on your way to work, play, or school.
And I've been all over the world, and actually, and I talk to people in countries where they have a reputation and probably, in fact, are. And in fact, I know are a lot poorer than the United States, and you just don't, it's not the same kind of thing as in the United States. I mean, it's worse in the United States. Mm-hmm. This is what it amounts to.
I live and work in Washington, D.C., and there's many tourists that come to the nation's capital from all over the world, and I think they have a rose-colored vision of what America is like, and they know about America through the sitcoms, the Bill Cosby Show, and I guess I haven't watched sitcoms for a long time, but when they come to Washington, they're just floored that there are homeless people every other park bench, every other doorway, people living on top of heat grates, people panhandling, and they don't understand it. And then there's the beautiful pristine monuments of Washington, D.C., and the White House where the president lives. And the closest neighbors to the president of the United States are really homeless people who live right across the street in Lafayette Park.
Isn't there been an encampment going on there for some time?
There have been a group of homeless people with various political views who've been protesting in Lafayette Park, and some of the people have been protesting for the last 20 years, the same people.
Because they still don't have anywhere to live.
Still no place to go, and they're still concerned about aspects of our U.S. Foreign policy.
Uh-huh. So was that kind of mixed together, the demonstrators and the people that really have kind of no choice, or am I feeding into some stereotypes here?
Well, in Washington, D.C., because we are the seat of the world, the seat of the United States and probably the most powerful capital of the world, a lot of political protesters come to Washington, D.C., who are, I call them the political or intellectual homeless who have a political cause. And then there's homeless people who are not homeless by choice, who are they're living on the streets because there's a lack of affordable housing in a nation's capital, and there's no right to shelter. There's not enough shelter beds. And we've somehow found a way to house our dusty books and documents in Washington, D.C., our great museums, but we've not found a way to house the 15,000 people who become homeless over the course of a year in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. 15,000. I've heard that number with regard to San Francisco, where we are speaking right now. And how many homeless people are there in the United States? And I know that to get these statistics is not so easy because people hide and mm-hmm. and things change a lot. But let's have some numbers about that, if you would.
Well, it's always interesting that people want to know how many homeless people there are, whether there's a million or 10 million. Nobody ever says we want to do anything about it. Americans have Western European minds. They want to quantify everything. They want to put a number, but when you get right down to it, we really don't know. But there's 3.5 million people experience homelessness over a course of a year, and there's hundreds of thousands of people who are homeless on any given night. There are more animal shelters in this country than there are shelters for homeless people, and that's why you see here in San Francisco, our other major cities in the country, Los Angeles, Miami, New York, Washington, D.C., Seattle, that have a very visible and growing homeless population.
What does the National Coalition for the Homeless do, since we're talking about doing something about it? And I quite agree. I mean, to have any homeless people is not okay with me, unless they choose to do that, which is certainly probably not the case with most people who are living in the streets.
The National Coalition for the Homeless, our roots go back to 1979 in New York City. The local coalition for the homeless at that time that gave birth to the National Coalition. Our founder, Robert Hayes, sued the state of New York under a little-known provision in the New York State Constitution that said that the state of New York had an obligation to provide for its needy its citizens. Out of that litigation, we realized that advocacy played a role in ending or at least stopping the growth of homelessness. In the 1980s, the National Coalition was founded. We did a lot of litigation in the 1980s. We sued about every branch of the federal government. We lobbied successfully in the mid-1980s for passage of the first federal funding stream to support homeless programs, transitional housing, permanent housing programs around the country. And we have built a network of local and state coalitions that we work in harmony with in advocating for dealing with some of the root causes of homelessness in this country. And the root causes are the lack of affordable housing, the lack of a living wage, the lack of universal health care. If we tackled the root causes of homelessness, we could cut the homeless population in half, and we could really start working with the folks that have some serious physical and mental problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard mention of the homelessness or homeless industry at this conference where we are of National Conference of Newspapers about homelessness. And that really makes sense because, the homeless industry, because there are so many so-called services. Well, let me let you comment about this.
Well, the homeless services industry, it makes it sound like we're a bunch of poverty pimps taking advantage of homeless people and making money. Most of the people I know who work with homeless people are not getting paid a lot of money. They truly care about what they're doing. They're saving lives. They're providing services. But what homeless people really need is a job that pays a living wage, and the best social program would be giving employment to homeless people. If we asked homeless people today, are you any better off than what you were 20 years ago, 10 years ago, the answer would be yes. In most cases, there's more shelter beds, there's more services, but there's not enough affordable housing. The fastest growing segment of the homeless population in the year 2001 is the working poor. We have a lot of people who are working at full-time minimum wage jobs who are stuck in our emergency shelter system.
I just heard actually someone told me that there's no major city in the United States where people who get the minimum wage can afford housing.
That's true. We've heard of, we all know about minimum wage jobs like at McDonald's or working as a greeter at Walmart, but there's not such a thing as minimum wage housing, housing that you can afford on a minimum wage job in our society. And this is the underlying issue that the presidential candidates in the 2000 campaign did not tackle. Affordable housing affects not just homeless people, but lower income people, working class people, and middle income people who simply can't make it working full time. Anybody who works full time in this country should not be living in poverty, and somehow we have to figure out a way to raise the minimum wage to a living wage.
Mm-hmm. And how do people live on the streets and also have jobs? I know these numbers, like you were saying, numbers. Mm-hmm. But it does, since we do live in a Western quote unquote country where people think like this. I mean, it's nothing like some numbers to kind of bring it home, because a lot of people don't get it, even though it's right in their face.
According to the U.S. Conference of Mayors, about 20% of homeless people are working either part-time or full-time. More people, 20%, one out of five, it doesn't sound like a lot. But I can tell you, trying to hold down a job when you're living outside, when you don't have an address, when you don't have a phone, when you can't take a shower, when you can't get a good night's sleep, and sometimes that holds true for when you're in a shelter system. I admire homeless people, not because they're homeless, of course, but I admire that homeless people are surviving in a greed-oriented society with little or no money, no family they're in touch with for right now, no close friends, no church, no support system. And it's pretty remarkable that they're surviving, but they're also dying on the streets.
Yeah, I've been kind of curious when people, when you're talking about dying on the streets, I see statistics in the Street Sheet newspaper here in the Bay Area, and there's one in San Francisco, one in the Bay Area, one in the East Bay, I get mixed up, which is which? Street Spirits in the East Bay, mm-hmm. and Street Sheet is in San Francisco.
Yes.
And how many people died on the streets of what, and you know, what that means, I mean, how... they died of homelessness. I mean, what that means, because everybody dies sooner or later.
I don't know the figures for San Francisco, but in Washington, D.C. last year, we had 36 people die either living in shelters or on the streets. The leading cause of death was natural causes, which only makes sense. If you're born on the streets, you die on the streets. Murder was second, suicide third, and hypothermia was a fourth cause of death. Between Christmas of last year and mid-January, we had a cold spell in the northeastern part of the United States, and we had seven homeless people die of hypothermia.
Which is called freezing to death.
Freezing to death, which can happen to you even here in San Francisco when the temperature is in the early 50s and you're wet from the rain. And so it happens everywhere. We had a person who lay dead for 5 days in a doorway in Washington, D.C., before anyone realized that there was something wrong. And it's kind of like a form of existential blindness. We know they're there when we walk by, but if we stop and acknowledge their existence, we also know then we have a moral responsibility. And we've grown accustomed to homelessness. People born since the early 80s think that homelessness has always been part of our urban landscape, along with our water fountains and parks and monuments, and we just don't even think about it. We walk right on by.
Yeah, I've really found that younger people, of course, don't have an idea that it didn't used to be this way. I mean, there were always some homeless people, but it's really dramatically changed in a very short time. And you're talking, I want to let people know again that my guest is Michael Stoops, who's the director of community organizing for the National Coalition for the Homeless, which is based in Washington, D.C. You were talking about being born on the streets, and of course, there's such the population of children mm-hmm. who are homeless, children and families, is really, really increasing. Would you speak about that?
Well, we're all familiar with maybe fourth-generation welfare families who've been caught up in in the culture of not just welfare dependency, but being thrown into a system that doesn't help you break out of the cycle of poverty, not getting adequate job training, not getting adequate schooling, not getting adequate child care, et cetera, et cetera. The same way with homelessness. Homelessness has been around for a good 20 years, and we now have second and soon-to-be third-generation homelessness, homeless children who are destined to become the homeless adults of the future. Today in America, 25% of all homeless people are children under the age of 18. And I never thought that I would be talking about the needs of homeless children 20 years when homelessness became a problem, and that it would even be part of our vocabulary. And even when I talk about homeless children, it doesn't seem to strike a chord. We've gotten used to homeless children. They're not standing in the soup lines with their parents. They're not out on the street corners with their moms or dads, but they're at the food pantries. They're doubled and tripled up, living with family and friends, or they're living in campgrounds here in California and elsewhere. And somehow, someday I wish that maybe all the shelters and soup kitchens and food pantries would close their doors for a day, because many times a shelter puts the Band-Aid on the problem, a Band-Aid for a wound that we never see. And perhaps if we just became aware of the extent of poverty in this country, that Americans would say, there's something wrong, we have the resources, let's work together and try to fix this problem. It is solvable. We can probably never solve homelessness in the world. There's a billion homeless people in the world today. But in small communities around the country that are not like San Francisco or Washington, D.C., that they have the resources and perhaps the political civility to work and help and address homelessness in their community.
Well, you mentioned small communities. I understand also that there's plenty of homelessness in rural areas and everywhere. And again, it's not so obvious, but it's really enormous. There are these stereotypes about homelessness, that they're single men who are crazy or drug addicts, and that's about it. Or there's something's wrong with the people. Of course, the whole criminalizing and demonizing of homeless people. You have to be scared of them. They're going to, like, do bad things to you, when in the reality is very different.
The way we talk about homeless people today is similar to the way Americans talked about members of minority groups 30, 40 years ago. The same stereotypes about minority groups is what we now ascribe to homeless people. They're dirty, they're lazy, they're mentally ill, they're alcoholic, they choose to be homeless, and on and on and on. We call them vagrants, we call them drifters, we call them transients, we call them all kinds of names because we don't know what their real names are. When Americans think of homelessness, they do think of the black panhandler on the street corner or the white panhandler on the street corner, but that is the tip of the iceberg. For every visible homeless person you see, there's another 9 people who you don't see, and they're in rural America, they're on Native American reservations, they're in suburban communities, they're in shelters. And former mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, former UN Ambassador Andrew Young has once said that someday Americans will be as embarrassed about homelessness as today we are embarrassed that we once had segregation in this country 30, 40 years from now. And someday we will have a president, whether it's George W. or Hillary Clinton or whoever, who will say that we are going to end homelessness in this country within the next 5 or 10 years because we have the resources, but we simply lack the political will. The American people are not saying, let's end homelessness. Rather, they're bitching about homeless people. Business people are lobbying the mayors, police departments, and we've criminalized homelessness in this country. We've all heard of racial profiling, driving while black. We have a form of profiling of homeless people that we call in this business walking while homeless. If you look like you're homeless in this country, you better not walk in downtown America.
Mm-hmm. So is the harassment of the police pretty much the same all over the country?
I think it varies. A number of police departments, 90% of police officers do good work, and they're out on the streets 24/7. They're doing things that most people don't want to do taking people to detox, taking people to shelters. But there's that small minority of police officers at the behest of the Chamber of Commerce's are going around arresting, citing, driving homeless people to the county line. It happens day after day. Every time there's a special sporting events, whether it's the Super Bowl or the Democratic National Convention, they round people up before the event, they lock them up, and they release them after the event, but they drive them to the county or the state line. It's a problem that's been going on year after year for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. I know they do that all over the world, too. But again, we're talking about the United States, particularly because we are, even though this program may be heard by people in other countries, but we are Americans, and we are, this is what I think, I'm an American anyway, and this is, like we said at the beginning of the show, the richest country in the world, and there's particularly no excuse. I mean, there hasn't been any natural disaster or any war. What about, do you see any difference in regions or in rural and urban areas in terms of this issue?
There are differences from the different regions of the country. In places like Washington, D.C., there's been homeless people who've been there for 20 years, and they have stayed in Washington, D.C. because it's a culture shock for them to go to another city where it might be warmer. Some cities have a higher percentage of the mentally ill homeless because they have a nearby state hospital. In some communities, alcoholism is a greater problem than drug abuse. Other communities, homeless-on-homeless crime is a problem. Other communities, hate crimes and violence against homeless people. The National Coalition just released a report that we've done for 2 years in a row. Over the last 2 years, 1999-2000, 92 homeless people have been murdered in America in 63 different cities, and they were murdered by housed people, generally teenagers or young adults who've decided they did not like the bum on the corner. They've been set on fire. They've had their heads cut off. They've been shot up. They've been beaten. And we're real concerned about that. You know, we all were aghast when James Byrd of Jasper, Texas, was driven behind a pickup truck to his death, or when the young gay man Matthew Shepard in Laramie, Wyoming, was tortured and murdered on that fence post. But the fact that 92 homeless people have been murdered, and we can't get the media or even the politicians to make this a priority, and we're working on that right now.
Mm-hmm. And are you an advocacy organization then? And you say National Coalition for the Homeless. What's happening in Washington in terms of, or anywhere in the United States in terms of politics and organizing? And actually, Michael Stoops, mm-hmm. you are the director of community organizing for the National Coalition of the Homeless, for the Homeless.
Well, the closest neighbor to the President of the United States is a friend of mine named Charlie. He's 79 years of age, World War II Korean veteran. He's been the closest neighbor to the last four presidents, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and now George W. In his mind, it doesn't matter who is a resident of the White House because the homelessness goes on. His life is almost over. His parade is almost done. He doesn't see any change, and he hopes and prays that God will take care of him someday, and he doesn't worry about himself or his many street friends. And my friend Charlie is there, and he looks over at the White House on a nightly basis. And so when I think of homelessness, I think of my friend Charlie, who served his country admirably during the Korean and World War II.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that brings up another issue, actually, is the issue of veterans on the streets. You want to say something about that real quick? Our time is kind of winding down here.
The veteran population, anybody who has risked their life for their country in a combat situation, to me, should be rewarded with some kind of a permanent place to be when they've come home from that war. About 19% of homeless people in urban areas are veterans. There's very few World War II or Korean veterans. My friend Charlie's one of the last remaining. The Vietnam veterans are dying off. There's not that many veterans from the Persian Gulf era, but it seems like we've never figured out a way to help the people coming back from war who've served their country and risked their lives. And I believe that everybody is deserving, but the veterans of this country are much more deserving than any of us.
Yeah, and whatever you think about the war, they still did it. I mean, they still went off to do what they were told they were supposed to do. And so what about state-wise? Are any of states or cities better than others? I'm just trying to get some overall sense. As I say, I live here in the Bay Area where it's very clear to me it's not a good situation for people without housing.
We get asked that question a lot. Is there any one city, like Ronald Reagan used to talk about the shiny city on the hill, is there any one city that is just doing wonderful things for homeless people? The answer is no. Is there any one congressperson doing wonderful things for homeless people? The answer is no. But the reality is that in each city, including the Bay Area, San Francisco, Cleveland, New York, Washington, D.C., there are some model programs, model advocates who are really trying to educate the public, trying to lobby for systemic change. But we have a long ways to go in this country. But while we try to end homelessness in the Bay Area, we can at least start working with homeless people one-on-one, trying to end in one person's homelessness one at a time.
Right. And organizing people must be very hard, because it's hard enough to be politically active when you've got your basic needs taken care of. And so I imagine it's really hard to organize, to bring people together, to take a stand when people are busy just trying to survive and not be too seen, as we were mentioning earlier.
Homeless people are just as apathetic as anybody else, but there's also homeless people who are not homeless forever. The average length of time of someone being homeless in America is from 6 to 8 months. There's many people who've got off the street on their own. They've got off the streets with help from folks like myself, formerly homeless people who are still concerned about their homeless brothers and sisters on the streets. They're very active in the street newspaper movement in this country. They're active on the board of directors of the National Coalition. We need to be about building a poor people's movement in this country.
That sounds good. Okay, I want to remind people that Michael Stoops, Director of Community Organizing with the National Coalition for the Homeless. And you want to give some contact info real quick, Michael Stoops.
The National Coalition for the Homeless can be reached in Washington, D.C. We have a website, www.nationalhomeless.org is our website, and our phone number is 202-737-6444.
Okay, thank you very much for this interview.
Thank you.
And Michael Stoops, and my name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.